This is Tofu Dave on your community radio station, WCOM FM, Chapel Hill and Carver, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie. And we've got a quick thinker here today, Peter Cave, the author of How to Think Like a Philosopher. Peter, welcome from the fair country of England to Chapel Hill on community radio. How are you today?
I'm a bit confused. You're saying welcome from the fair country of England as if you were in England. I'm the one in England. I'm in London. I'm in central London. I'm in Soho, surrounded by bars and clubs and the like, which is paradoxical, as in fact I just like heavy noise and deep music, but there you are.
Well, delightful. You know, I was reading your book, How to Think Like a Philosopher. It's a good start, isn't it? Reading.
I just want people to buy my book. They don't need to read them. They could burn them.
Oh, please, don't say that. Well, listen, Peter, you have... you select... You selected 30 philosophers for your book in rough chronological order, from Lao Tzu all the way to Iris Murdoch and Samuel Beckett. What I wanted to ask you, starting off, which is probably an improper question, is who did you leave out of your book that you wish you had put in to this list of great philosophers we should think about and read about? Who did you leave out that should be in here?
Well, that's entirely an improper question. As you said, I don't mind improper proposals, but questions are more difficult to handle. But St. Thomas Aquinas would be a major figure I should have included. Frank Ramsey, a famous philosopher in the 20th century, highly important, but little known, he could have been included, and so forth. But then the ones I did include were meant, so not merely the great philosophers, but great thinkers whom you wouldn't normally think of as philosophers. So we have Sappho, the lesbian poet, we have Iris Murdoch, the novelist, and we have, as you rightly noticed, Samuel Beckett, the playwright.
And you even had Karl Marx, who you call a Hegelian freedom fighter, who many people might not think of as a philosopher. I found that very interesting.
Marx is a fine example because it encourages us to remove the cap, recognize what's really going on in the world. I could relate that to Simone Weil, another little-known philosopher in my book, in which she talks about how she was having a discussion with Simone de Beauvoir, you know, the young French novelist. And Simone de Beauvoir was saying what's important in people's lives is, in fact, finding the meaning of life, to which Simone Weil said, I can tell you have never been hungry, Simone. And that's the point about Marx, really. Marx might well be wanting us to think about the dreadful plight of millions of people in the world, which we close our eyes to. People have often said that America and Britain are incredibly poor countries, but with a few very, very rich people. So I would like my philosophy book at least to raise some of those issues.
Yes, good points all. And Peter Cave, another question for you, if I may. The subtitle of your book is that these philosophers are people who can teach us how to live. And I want to raise that question with you. I often think of philosophers as being those who may teach me how to think, but you're saying they can also teach us how to live. Could you tell my audience what you mean by that?
Thinking and living, of course, are not incompatible. In fact, the great philosopher Bertrand Russell of the 20th century said many, many people, indeed most people, would rather die than think, and that's what they do. So I think thinking is important in one's living. And Socrates, the ancient Greek philosopher, would often say the unexamined life is not worth living. And so, philosophy is our team to encourage people to think about things. But let me give you a simple example. Many people very casually say all that's important in life is pleasure. Well, I use an example which I nicked from Plato and modified it. But if pleasure is really all that is important in your life, why not buy some itching powder and back scratcher and sprinkle the powder and scratch? You get the pleasures of the scratching and then sprinkle again and scratch, sprinkle and scratch. That would be a life of pleasure. But is it a life you really would want? Well, that connects to John Stuart Mill, a 19th century philosopher, the great John Stuart Mill, who made the point, is it better to be a dissatisfied Socrates than a satisfied pig? Mind you, on occasions I wouldn't mind going for the satisfied pig, so long as I have plenty of red wine and white wine, but in general I think it's better to be a questioning dissatisfied Socrates.
Uh-huh. Okay, I follow you there. Well, you know, I try to aha like a philosopher.
You aha incredibly well. I can give you a more gloomy thought, though, that this is from Friedrich Nietzsche. Many of your listeners will know Nietzsche, the philosopher who said God is death, and so forth.
Yes.
Well, his heaviest weight, as he called it, was the idea of the eternal recurrence. The eternal recurrence is the idea, suppose your life is going to be repeated eternally, exactly as it is now. Every second, every movement, every emotion, every event in your life is exactly the same, eternally. How well disposed would you be to your life, asked Nietzsche, but that you would welcome this eternity? Or would you not rush down to the floor and gnashing your teeth, saying, I can't stand it? It's a way of addressing the question, are you proud of the way in which you're living? There's always the possibility of revising how you live and maybe regretting and engaging remorse and maybe improving. Mind you, I'm not saying my life is one of improvement, I don't think too much red wine these days. But it's a way of passing the time. So as Samuel Beckett said, time would have passed anyway. That's why I make use of Samuel Beckett, the great philosopher on time.
Well, I find that this question of too much red wine seems to be a problem with philosophers in general. As you describe some of these philosophers, some of them don't seem to have a personal life that always corresponds to their philosophy. So maybe we have a philosophical flaw here in your argument that they can teach us how to live if they can't all teach themselves how to live.
Well, just because you make mistakes, it shows that you're human. You do remind me, though, that Avicenna, the Arabic philosopher around a thousand in time, he always said that in order to carry on his philosophizing, he needed another glass of wine, which I can well approve of that. But if you think about the philosophers, some have deep anguishment. Others say wisely, say, well, we anguish about all these things, about the meaning of life, about how to live, about the nature of the self, what makes you, Dave, the same person over time. And that leads some of them to think maybe you're best in touch with yourself when you lose yourself in music, which seems to be an idea of Schopenhauer, and you often find it in Wittgenstein, the great Ludwig Wittgenstein, who would say, well, we cannot speak thereof, we must remain silent. You're meant to nod at this point, Dave, and say, how profound. I'm not sure quite what it means, but what I do know, Wittgenstein thought, is that the meaning of life is really to be grasped in not speaking, but in appreciating music and the world around you. But that's also found in Iris Murdoch. Iris Murdoch, the novelist, who actually points out that maybe you are obsessed with the world when you just experience, in her example, the kestrel in the branches of the sea. So there are places for thinking, but there are also places, of course, for experiencing. And there are places for being silent.
Good point. Like Lao Tzu, best ultimately to say nothing. But until then, go with the flow, go with the Tao. And my listeners know that would be one of my favorite picks. Again, this is Tofu Dave on your community radio station. Between the Covers, we have author and philosopher Peter Cave here talking about his book, How to Think Like a Philosopher on Bloomsbury Press. You know, Peter, we're coming to the close here of our session, and I just want to say I'm really glad.
How can you close
say that again, Peter?
How can you close me so quickly? I was about to say I'm very impressed that we've got as far as my first chapter by using our two. Then I was about to add, but of course I am equally impressed. But it's been very, very good chapter these days.
Yes, as another philosopher once said, time flies like an arrow. And I think it has. And I'm glad you mentioned Wittgenstein, because no interview on this subject could be possible without mentioning him or Heidegger or a few others that you mentioned. But you did a good job, and I want to thank you. Any last words for our audience here in University of North Carolina?
Two last words, which I mean, suspect my senses. One thing is, I believe it's called Wittgenstein, though I do so upsetting our beautiful relationship. And I'll tell you a very, very quick story about Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard saw a shop open near him, which said, bring your dirty washing here. He thought, great, the laundry, he dashed off home, collected his dirty washing, and took it off to the shop. And then he realized it was a shop which sold time. It wasn't a laundry at all. So my thought is, we really need to be careful about how we interpret what people are saying. And enjoy it. Philosophy is enjoyable.
Thank you again, Peter Cave, for that correction and that insight, how to think like a philosopher, out on Bloomsbury Press. Peter, thank you so much. Take care. This has been another edition of Between the Covers on your community radio station, WCON 103.5 on your FM dial, Chapel Hill.